This is Frederick.
And I'm Charlie, and we are Soundless Whisper. And you are listening to the Wild Man and Steve Show.
You are about to listen to the intersection of faith, talk, and music. The Wild Man and Steve Show starts right now.
Everybody, I want to welcome everybody to the Wild Man Show tonight, because it is Wild Man only. Steve is not here. However, this is the Wild Man and Steve Show because we have Steve from Vegas from Word 66 with us today. So we're going to be getting into the band, their ministry, and what's been going on. So Steve, welcome to the program. How are you doing today, sir?
I am doing fantastic, Wild Man. As always, I really appreciate you guys having us on.
Yeah, sure. We love to have you
on. Or me on, I should say.
Yeah, any way that we can promote what you do is what we're here for. So tell us, what's going on with the band now?
So we just released a new single and a new video. It's called The Chosen One. We were going to release an EP, and actually what we were going to do is we were going to combine the first EP with this new EP and kind of make it a full LP. But things didn't work out. We actually had signed with a new label, and we had left our first label, and some things happened, and that didn't work out. So we wanted to get something out for now because it's been a while.
Yeah, yeah. Now, this new single, it's great. So I didn't look too far at the credits, but who gets the credit for writing this single?
I write all the music.
I figured that was the case. So can I ask you, what was your motivation for this particular one, The Chosen One? What was your particular motivation behind writing this song?
It's kind of a theme. You know, it's mostly, this song is really about Jesus. And in the video, I am actually in the video, and I am playing a savior, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I'm driving around in my car and picking up some lost souls that need to be saved. And at the end of the video, we kind of all just disappear, which means that everyone's been saved and we're on our way to the kingdom of heaven.
Oh, wow. So tell me how, when you write, and this is a good example, you can talk about this one, you can talk about everything else you've written. When you write your music, I've talked to artists before that do the lyrics first, then they add the music, vice versa. What is it that, how do you go about doing that? How do you match up the message, the lyrical message with the music?
I definitely write the music first. Okay. And then I'll pull out a pad and a pen. And usually it flows. Sometimes it doesn't. Basically, when I'm writing stuff too, I need to be in what I call writing mode.
Ah, okay. Okay.
So a lot of times I'm just practicing. I'm just messing around with my guitar. And I just hit some notes or some chords or whatever that just sound really cool. And I go, oh, wow, this would make a really cool song. So, you know, I whip out the phone and record it because there's no way you're ever going to remember it later on. You know, I've done that before. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll just pick it up later on. And you pick it up and you're like, nothing.
Yeah,
nothing's coming. So I got to be in writing mode to make that happen. And so I'll write, like I said, usually sometimes it's simultaneous, but a lot of times I'll do the music first and then I'll pick up the pad and write the lyrics down as well.
Okay. All right. Hey, everybody. Wild Man here.
And this is Steve.
And you're listening to Classic Christian Rock Steve, we were supposed to say it together.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, buddy.
Okay, let's try again. Hey, everybody. Wild Man here.
And this is Steve.
And you're listening to Classic Christian Rock. Steve, what is the problem?
I just don't like how you're doing this.
How I'm doing what?
Hello, everyone. Wild Man here. It's like, hey, this is my show, and Steve is just my sidekick.
Really? You're going to go there now? After all we've been through? The amazing artists we've interviewed, over 140 podcast episodes, 20,000 downloads? Really? After 3 years of Mr. Segway? Really? You're going to go there now?
Okay, I guess you're right.
Okay, let's try this again. Hey, everyone.
Steve here, and you're listening to Classic Christian Rock Radio.
Wow. Just wow. So the writing mode, I hear that a lot from artists in general, whether it's somebody who's painting or whether somebody's writing a story. I've heard stories of authors, for example, who will have to pull over off the freeway because an idea comes and they had to write it down. So what about, like, using that analogy, talking about the author analogy, you know, we've always seen over the years the trash can full of the wadded up papers until they get the right one. Is that the picture that we should envision with you when you write? Is it like you're trying and trying it, then all of a sudden then you nail it? Or is it just natural and it's just right there?
Definitely don't wadded up papers. I don't write a lot of test lyrics and then throw them out and go, nah, this sucks. And then pick up another piece of paper and go, okay, let's try this. Nah, no good. No, not at all. And talking about, like, you're just driving down the road, you know, I have on my phone too, some stuff where I'll get an idea too, and I'll pick up my phone and I'll just do like, or something like that on my phone. So I'll have it for later as well.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So now talking about that, now that really intrigues me because, as you know, I am a guitarist, but I'm not a professional guitarist, but I've played my whole life and I just love it. And I wish I could play some of the stuff you play, of course. But before I get to that, remind me of that because, ladies and gentlemen, Steve is joining us now.
What's up, Steve?
You know what? I figured you've already got a Steve there. So did you really need another?
Well, that's what I was saying at the very beginning. I said, well, this isn't the Wild Man and Steve show because you just have Wild Man. But hey, we have the Wild Man and Steve show. So, Steve, you're actually joining the show. This is a first. This is a first on the Wild Man and Steve show. This is a first. You are joining
first for
the
us. Yes, it is.
You are joining the show in progress. Interview already started. We didn't even get a chance for Mr. Segway yet, which we can do that now. But in progress, you are joining the show. How does that make you feel?
Like one of those old time, they break away during your favorite episode of, you know, Dallas or Dynasty, and there'd be some breaking news from the White House, and they say, "We return you to your show already in progress," you know, and so, yeah.
Yeah, what comes to my mind is like Highlander, there can only be one.
Yeah. But you know what came to mind?
So the other Steve is on now.
You know what, folks? I'm just going to be quiet and just have them duke it out to see who the real Steve is. Would the real Steve please stand up? Let's show up. But you know what?
It's the battle of the Steves, which makes me think, and we'll check everybody's age on this one. You remember those Godzilla movies? And I'm not talking about the 2000s. I'm talking about the classic stuff from the 60s and 70s. Sunday afternoon television, you'd see this. And there was one that was in that series. It didn't actually involve Godzilla, but it was called War of the Gargantuas. And there was the green gargantua and the kind of the British brown gargantua. And they were going at each other. And Steve, you're nodding your head. And yeah,
I actually remember that movie because I'm a major horror freak, you know? So,
Wow.
Yeah. So I know all of those movies. Absolutely.
Now, isn't that back though, when they had that little hair?
My goodness, I remember watching those.
Wasn't that back when they had that little hair at the bottom of the screen? And then every time they changed scenes, that big light in the corner would flash. Is that what we're talking about? You know? Those old films.
I don't think it's that old.
I thought you said you were going to be quiet while Steve and I talk.
Sorry. I'll mute myself right now. So anyhow, I'm glad you brought up a few things here, you know, like Dallas and Godzilla, Steve. I'm glad you bring so much to this show.
I bring the best.
Yeah. Because all I could think about was who shot JR. You remember that? I mean, everybody has to remember that, Dallas.
JR, absolutely.
I remember as a kid watching that, and everybody's on the edge of their seat finding out who shot JR. Well, everybody's on the edge of their seat tonight wanting to know at the end of the episode who is the real Steve, and we're going to find that out.
We'll find that out.
Yeah.
Wow.
So anyhow, I think that was a good segue. That was probably your best segue ever. You just came right in. You know, you just showed right up, you know. Ladies and gentlemen, Steve Perkins, the Latin teacher, not the other Steve that we have on today, he has a way of doing this sometimes. You know, he just pops up where you least expect him. You know, it's kind of like a pimple, you know, just pops up where you.
You know, of all the things you have said to me over the years on this show, I'm not sure that isn't the one that's going to finally have me breaking up with you.
Well, you know what? But the good news is I didn't say it to you. I said it about you because I was talking to our listeners. So, you know, there you go. All right, folks, we hope you're still with us here. So we're going to get back to the interview now. So what I was getting at, Steve, the good Steve, what I was getting at was guitar riffage. So you already mentioned about how you write the rhythm and how you write the lyrics. So when it comes to a riff or when it comes to soloing leads, what's your inspiration there? How do you go about doing it?
I would have to say that the solo is probably the hardest part of the song for me.
Wow.
So like this new track, The Chosen One, when I got into the studio, it was kind of a bit of a work in progress. So I pretty much knew how the solo went, but I wasn't really sure exactly how it's going to go. So when we recorded it in the studio and then we played it back, I was like, no, man, this is just, it's just not working. It's just, I don't like this part. I don't like this. And so we actually went through it like quite a few times. And I actually started doing something different. And then we kind of wind up taking a piece of this one and a piece of this one. And I kind of just kind of put it together. So for me, a solo has to say something. You know, the solo has to be a part of the song that belongs in the song.
Mm-hmm.
So some people I've noticed that they do solos, they just like rip. And then I kind of, after the solo's over, I go like, I don't get that. You know, it was just kind of, you know, the point is not to prove how fast you can play.
Mm-hmm.
You have to say something that enhances the song.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
I was just going to say, I'm having huge flashbacks of the multiple interviews we've done with Michael Sweet, who says the exact same thing. He said, for Striper, he said, never a shredder. I never wanted to be a shredder. I always wanted to make sure I played in a way that it touched people and it contained the message that was in the song. Exactly what you're saying. So great, great. That's a great motivation, I would say, because there's only so, I mean, you know, the other thing with guitar playing is that there's so many out there. I mean, it's almost impossible to be the best shredder nowadays, because you find shredders now all over the place. You find kids 9 years old who are shredding on YouTube, you know? So,
Yes.
Yeah.
It's true. And a lot of times, I guess, when they record, I think they have to, I don't know if they're trying to prove something or what, but I mean, you know, they've got to go, and it's kind of like, and I listen to some of those solos and I go, that just didn't work for me. It didn't make any sense to me. Now, I'm not saying that what I write is actually does that or not, but I mean, I feel that it works with the song, you know, and even when, like I said, the new solo in the new song, I had some other stuff in there that was kind of ripping. And then when I heard the playback, I was like, yeah, I don't like it. It just doesn't work. It just doesn't make a lot of sense.
I like the language that you use for that and really putting some terminology to that. And obviously, Wild Man, as a guitarist, you pick up on that right away. I think sometimes maybe as a listener, you know, somebody may go, man, I can't really quite put my finger on why I don't like this song as much, but yeah, it just doesn't do it for me. But that actually helps put some language to it. I think that's exactly right. And as I think back to some songs I've heard, and I have to say even some newer things I've heard, where it is that. It feels almost something maybe it's tacked on or it's just obligatory. It's like the, you know, the power ballad in the 80s, you know, you had to have one on every album. And it becomes something formulaic, and it's okay, if I have these ingredients, then it must be a good song, right? And the answer is no. You can have all the ingredients and it's still not a good song. It's how you put it together. It's that very human element. And again, as you were just saying, you know, you listening back to a song and your own interaction with that and saying, you know what? It's not quite. It's like a really good cook. And it doesn't matter if it's a chef at a 5-star restaurant or your grandma who's a really good cook. And you can take a little taste of the broth and go, there's still a little something missing here, right? I need a little dash of oregano. And that's what art is, right? Whether I think it's graphic art, and for people who are listening, you're not able to see, we record via Zoom, and Steve's got a really nice piece of graphic art on the wall behind him. It's a really attractive piece there. Whether it's creating through food, creating through music, creating through writing a novel or a poem, there really is that very human element of you kind of got to taste it and feel it.
That's a really good analogy with the cooking. I like that. You know, and it's funny too, because you can probably send a song to like 100 guitarists and say, I need a solo in this song. And there probably won't be one that's the same, of course. I mean, it'll all vary. It'll all be different because it's what we feel.
Well, and if I can throw this in there, and Wild Man, you can correct this if I'm remembering this incorrectly. I don't know. Have we actually talked on this show about AI and specifically the Chat GPT that has been the rage over the last few months? I don't know that we've really talked about that. And, you know, people are using this in all sorts of ways. We're really just on the cusp of figuring out what AI can do and what we can do with it. And people have created, again, graphic art. They've created music with it. And I'm sitting here thinking, I can see somebody saying, okay, AI bot, right? Give me a metal solo for this song. And I'm sure that a bot could come up with something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe. Would it necessarily work though? And that's where a lot of us have the hesitation about AI. There's just something there to like, I don't know. There's that lack of that human element, and the bot may be able to, you know, work with scales and notes and all these kinds of things, and we can put something together. But is that really the music? Because the soul isn't there.
That's a good point. Reminds me of Cyberdyne. Cyberdyne with That was a Terminator.
Series. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, luckily Schwarzenegger is still around. So, if that thing decides to take over the world, then we have Arnold at least. You know.
Yeah.
He should know how to deal with it.
Yeah.
So, Steve, before the show tonight, we were talking a bit about the recording process and getting your music out there, and you were expressing some challenges. So why don't you take a few minutes and talk about what the challenge has been for you with the Word 66 and getting the exposure, the support, whatever term you want to use?
It's funny because being a Christian rocker, you know, you would think that all the Christian rockers, like the radio stations and all the, you know, the bloggers and the press people and all that kind of stuff were kind of, I don't want to call it a club, but I mean, in a way, kind of like a club, because I thought that we kind of all stick together and, you know, I believe we have a quality product, and we find that we're getting the least amount of support probably from the Christian industry. Hmm. So most of our radio play, and happy to say our songs are still charting all over the world in a lot of different countries and stuff, and they're all non-Christian. Hmm. So we're not really charting on any Christian stations, really. We just had an incident recently with one of the bigger Christian rock stations, and they said they don't want to play our music. Hmm. And I was like, really? You know, what's the deal? You know, I thought we were, you know, kind of like a family here. And it's not like we're sending in an inferior product. I mean, I think we do some good stuff, and there's really no reason why they wouldn't play it, but for some reason they're not playing it. So by the way, so anyone who's listening to this podcast, please recommend our music. You know, please call the stations, especially the bigger ones as well, and recommend our music. We'd really appreciate it. They would have to play our music.
Did you get an answer from that one that backed out on you?
Not really.
And to follow that up, when you talk about radio stations, in fact, Wildman and I were having a conversation earlier today about some related topics here. And when you say radio station, do you mean traditional radio stations, such as you would play on the radio in your car, whatever, or internet radio, or both? What are you talking about?
Pretty much internet radio.
Okay.
Getting your stuff on regular radio stations is pretty difficult, especially being a Christian band. Now, of course, you've got your Christian contemporary radio that's on, you know, when you get in the car and you turn it on, you can listen to that stuff. But I think we're a little too heavy for those stations.
Well, and that's what I figured, you know, as far as that kind of thing goes. But internet radio, I mean, good grief. Internet radio to me is the Wayne's World of the 21st century. And people listening to this podcast are going to understand what that reference means, right? But, you know, you can play whatever you want. You've got complete freedom to do stuff like that and to be creative and to maybe go into places that the traditional radio wouldn't do. How are you going to say no to stuff? That's rather boggling to me. And again, this one I know we've talked about so many times on the show, is the pushback that Christian artists felt back in the 70s and 80s, and especially the rock and, mm-hmm. and metal mm-hmm. people. And I'm going, surely to goodness, we're not back to that again.
Yeah, I think there is somewhat of a blessing. If there is a silver lining in what Steve just explained, I think that the silver lining is that if you go back to the 70s and 80s, for a Christian band to be listed and played on any secular radio station would have been almost impossible. With the exception of like Stryper, because they were on a secular record label. And then Baron Cross came along. They were on a secular record label and they got the play. They were on MTV, you know, all of that, only just a couple. So you mentioned that the majority of what you're getting is the secular radio play, which is somewhat of it's. I mean, the other concern is valid for sure about why the Christians aren't Christian isn't. But at the same time, your stuff is going into the mission field, so to speak.
Absolutely.
You know, it's going right out where people need to hear the message.
Yeah, that's very cool. I'm very blessed with having that happen, you know, that we're a crossover band. If you really listen to a lot of our lyrics, I mean, it's not, I don't really hide the fact that we're Christian, you know, in my music. And that's a conversation I had with someone just recently, how they were saying that, you know, maybe I need to tone it down a little bit. And I believe that that's why God called me to do this project, is the fact that I'm not trying to hide the fact that I'm Christian, you know, and I am getting a message out there, hopefully, and a lot more messages to get out there. And being in the getting in the secular market is, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I was going to say, we talked with those who said, you know, if you've got the chops, that a lot of times the secular festivals, the secular clubs, the secular bands will respect that. We've had some conversations with some guys in Europe that have said that. And as far as that goes, I will come back to probably two bands over and over and over again as my go-to for why I would tell anybody to shut up if you don't. You got a beef with the Christian lyrics. You got Sabaton, who's out there. Every single song that these guys do is about some historical battle from something, you know, like that's everything they do. It's war history. You got Dio from the time he was in Rainbow Onward. It was all this Dungeons and Dragons stuff. So all I'm going to say is shut up, because it seems to me that in especially rock and metal, you've got that wide, really, I don't even say platform, it's more really that wide palette to draw from in terms of topics. So if you like it, you don't like it, that's fine. But dude, you should be able to accept that these guys are playing maybe some other lyrics. And then if you respect their musicianship, then share the stage with them. So
return.
We will join this interview again next week as the dynamic duo continue this interview with Steve from The Word 66. Join us to hear Steve say,
"Tough noogies."
The Wild Man and Steve Show is now partnering with New Release Today. Find out more about them at newreleasetoday.com. And don't forget to check out our website, where you can also leave us a review at wildmanandsteve.com.
Okay.
Sounds like rock and roll to me.